Invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel 28, that's on page 250 of our Pew Bibles. I was hoping to be done with 1 Samuel before Christmas sermons, but miscalculated. So beginning next Sunday, we'll begin an Advent series. Focusing on Christ, person and work of Christ. And in January, we'll pick back up with the last few chapters in 1 Samuel. But hear God's word. 1 Samuel chapter 28, that's on page 250 of our Pew Bibles, and we'll be reading through the end of the chapter. Hear God's word. In those days, the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, "Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army." And David said to Achish, "Very well, you shall know what your servant can do." And Achish said to David, "Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life." Now Samuel had died, and old Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered old Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. And when Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid. And his heart trembled greatly, and when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams, or by Urim, or by prophets. And then Saul said to his servants, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." And his servants said to him, "Behold, there is a medium at Endor." So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went, he and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, "Divine for me by a spirit and bring up for me whomever I shall name to you." And the woman said to him, "Surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you laying a trap for my life to bring about my death?" But Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing." Then the woman said, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" And he said, "Bring up Samuel for me." And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." And the king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" And the woman said to Saul, "I see a God coming up out of the earth." And he said to her, "What is his appearance?" And she said, "An old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe." And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground and paid homage. And then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" And Saul answered, "I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do." And Samuel said, "Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, The Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hands of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. And then Saul fell at once full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, "Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." And he refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fattened calf in the house, and she quickly killed it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. And then they rose and went away that night. Amen to this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you that your word is that lamp unto our feet, that light unto our path to lead us to Christ. Lord, we still live in a sin-darkened world. Satan still prowls about, seeking whom he may devour. And Lord, we are defenseless without Christ, without the truth of your word, the power of the cross, your indwelling Holy Spirit. And so, Lord God, pray today that you would be strengthening us, girding us for that walk of faith with Christ, that we might not be stumbling in the darkness, but walking by faith in the risen Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. In his classic commentary on 1 Samuel 28, Dale Ralph Davis recounts the sinful fall of Germany and Germany's military leadership at the end of World War II. Here's his summary. Quote, "It was April 1945. Germany was caving in. Joseph Goebbels, minister of propaganda for the Third Reich, told Hitler, 'It is written in the stars. The last half of April will be the turning point for us.' Although two previous astrological predictions had forecast the hardest blows for Germany during the first months of 1945, the stars told of an overwhelming victory in the second half of April. Already they received the news that U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt had died on April 12, 1945. Unfortunately for Goebbels' horoscopes, Hitler committed suicide on April 30th. And if you look at the commentary, would commend it to you. Dr. Davis concludes his historical account by writing, "Facing ruin, men will sometimes turn in their desperation to any resource that they think will give them some hope, some direction." So it was with Saul. You know, as we study 1 Samuel 28 this morning, I invite you to keep your Bibles open to this portion of Scripture. We're witnessing the sad and sobering spiritual fall of Saul, Israel's first king. You know, as Saul and the army of Israel are facing the formidable foes, the Philistine army, Saul is seeking guidance. But when the Lord stays silent, Saul faithlessly, foolishly, seeks to find answers for his life questions. And where does he turn? You know, he turns to Satan, not to scriptures. You know, he is asking the devil for directions in his darkness. You know, and the lesson for us today is this, that may we faithfully follow God's gracious guidance, even in deepest darkness. You know, why should we follow God's gracious guidance? You'll see that it opens, there's dark shadows in Israel. There's a depraved supplication by Saul, and then a desperate sorrow there at the end. You know, only a glimmer of the gospel in this entire chapter. You know, but it begins there. 1 Samuel 28, verse 1, these first three verses really are transitional verses. Some take them with chapter 27. I believe they're properly here with chapter 28. Here we see the gathering Philistine army. Achish, king of Gath, is part of the Philistine army. You remember that David was seeking a safe spot from Saul, and so David and his 600 soldiers fled to Achish, king of Gath, to the Philistine territory. And during his time there, David carried out raids. Achish thought he was attacking Israel, but more likely David was attacking Israel's enemies. And now Achish is calling David's hand. Achish expected David to head out to battle with him against Israel. Imagine that, King David fighting against his own people. And when Achish asked David to do that, David gives an ambiguous answer. Very well, you shall know what your servant can do. And then Achish says to David, very well, I will make you the bodyguard. Literally, I will make you the guardian of my head. You know, a little smile there. You know, think of how well David guarded Goliath's head. Now Samuel had died. Second time we're told this. We already read it in 1 Samuel 25, verse 1. But we're also reminded of a significant act by Saul. There in the last part of verse 3, and Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land, the sorcerers, the witches, anything to deal with the occult. You know, and why did Saul do that? Because that was a clear command, teaching of God's word. Give you a few examples. Exodus chapter 22, verse 18. You shall not permit a sorceress to live. And then again, Leviticus 19, verse 31. Leviticus 19, 31. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. You know, so here Saul seemed to be faithfully following God's commands, carrying out scripture. But still there is this fearful warfare against Israel. Pick it back up in 1 Samuel 28, verse 4. The Philistines assemble, they encamp at Shunem. If you have your maps, still have some more outlines in the back. You can find Shunem on the map. It's in the north part of Israel. It seems that it was the Philistine strategy at this point to divide Israel, to cut off Saul from the northern tribes. And what's Saul's response? You know, scripture here is plain. He was afraid. his heart trembled greatly. You know, keep in mind, this is the commander in chief. You know, we could call him a five-star general. He is fearful at this point. One preacher writes, "Nonetheless, Saul was gripped by the unbelief of his spiritual and moral darkness. Suddenly he became aware, as seems not to have happened for years, of his need for a word of hope from the Lord." You know, Saul realizes he's at a turning point in his spiritual walk of faith, or really seeing his lack of faith. And so Saul makes what I would call a fallen response. Saul inquired of the Lord. He sought an answer from the Lord. Guessing he hadn't prayed for a long time, hadn't read his Bible for a long time. Well, I'm in a pickle. My back's against the wall. You know, I better call on the Lord now. No atheists in foxholes. You know, but what happens? The Lord did not answer him. Either by dreams or Urim or by prophets. Those were the normal ways that God spoke to his people. You know, dreams, you think of Jacob's dreams, Genesis 28, Joseph's dreams, Urim were like lots that the high priest wore, and on special occasions when they needed to discern the will of God, they would pull out the Urim, Thummim. The Lord would use those to reveal his will. You know, God also spoke to his prophets. God spoke directly to his prophets. Moses, you know, God spoke to him face to face as a man speaks with his friend. It seems that Saul no longer reverenced God's word, so the Lord no longer revealed his gracious will and his gracious ways to Saul. You know, this is not history. You know, this is true still today. You know, when God seems to be silent in our lives, it's a time for repentance. But rather than fasting and repentance, Saul makes a sinful decision, you know, without missing a heartbeat. You know, what does Saul do in verse 7? Lord, silent, plan B. You know, and Saul said to his servants, a command, he finally does give a command, "Seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her." You know, and it's ironic here, you know, Saul had supposedly purified the land of all the occult, and the servant said to him, "Behold, there's a meteor at Endor." I mean, they knew right away where to go. You know, by the way, if you ever, dating myself, saw the TV show Bewitched, you know, lest we, you know, sort of a comedy about, you know, what's her name's mothers? It was Endora. You know, there's the root. Back to scripture here. You know, Saul says, "Seek for me a medium," here. You know, in different words used here, but so that you would understand the idea, you know, one who is calling upon the dead for communication. You know, God's silent. I'm going to go to Satan. I'm going to go to the dark side. You know, for my directions. You know, we could call her a sorceress, a spiritist, or a witch. You know, soul servants know where to find her. You know, and if you look again at the map to get to Endor, you know, Saul and his men actually needed to skirt Shunem, you know, to get there. Dark shadows are falling on Saul. Her daughter Danielle traveled to North Georgia. I can't remember where to pick out a puppy. You know, we're going to pray for us. We're going to have four dogs in the house at Christmas. maybe outside the house. But anyway, she went to North Georgia. Of course, she used her, you know, her phone, GPS app. But she had a problem with the address. She thought she was going to a street, and it actually was a road. And so there she is zipping down the road with her friend, and all of a sudden, you know, they pass by all the signs that said, you know, closed road. You know, but then all of a sudden the road ends. And they don't have cell service at that point. Don't even know which way to go. And in God's providence, you know, a good old country boy arrived on the scene, redirected her. You know, he knew the roads. He knew the right direction to where she needed to go. He even knew the woman, you know, who was, you know, had the litter of puppies. You know, think of it here. Saul is racing down a closed road. You know, the signs are flashing before his eyes. And the Lord remains silent. So Saul seeks his own wicked way. You know, and the question for us is this: how do we respond when the dark shadows fall? When we're afraid, our hearts are trembling greatly. The Lord's not answering. You know, at the very least here, don't flee to the devil for directions. Dark shadows falling on Israel. Then the depraved supplication of Saul here, verses 8 and through 19. You can picture this scene in your mind's eye here. Saul dons a disguise. That's not a good thing. You know, he's seeking to be deceitful. Maybe no one will know that I'm the king. Maybe no one will know, you know, that I'm seeking the counsel of this medium. You know, he goes out into the darkness. They came to the woman by night. It's not only, you know, dark physically, it's dark spiritually here for Saul at this point. The woman, no name given, not called the medium, speaks the truth about Saul's command to cut off the medium's end of the spiritists, the necromancers. Seems she knew a little bit about scriptures as well. She knows that disobeying Saul's command will lead to her death as well. And so Saul takes a solemn oath before the Lord there in verse 10. Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment will come upon you for this thing. You know, this is the last time that Saul will speak the name of the Lord. You know, if you have time this afternoon, read through Psalm 18 again, 50 verses, but, you know, just a glorious description of the Lord God. Saul swears this oath of immunity to reassure her, and so the woman then asks him, "Whom shall I bring up for you?" Hey, you know, and there's a question here: can this sinful spiritist really raise the dead? Maybe a question that you have today, or you've been asked. And I believe, according to Scripture, the devil does not possess the power to raise the dead. Only our great and gracious God can raise the dead. The Shunammite's son. Jesus raising the widow's son. Jesus raising Lazarus. Only God can raise the dead. But Saul tells this woman, here's the supplication, a command, Samuel, that's the name for emphasis, Samuel, bring up for me. And when the woman saw Samuel, and I believe this is a real resurrection, not an apparition, not a ghost, not a figment of her imagination, you know, she cried out with a loud voice. You know, why is that? Joyce Baldwin in her commentary writes, this was an extraordinary event for her and a frightening one. because she was not in control. And so she asks Saul, why have you deceived? Why have you beguiled me? You know, again, it's the Lord's work here of causing his servant Samuel to appear to Saul. Unless you think this is isolated, think of Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. Who did the Lord bring to Jesus? Moses and Elijah. Jesus saw Moses and Elijah. Three disciples with him saw Moses and Elijah. And the king said to her, there in verse 13, notice it says the king. You know, it's a painful reminder to Saul and to us. Saul is the chosen and ordained king of Israel. The one ordained by Samuel, the one chosen by God. This is the king speaking. Don't you be afraid. What do you see? And the woman says, a god, lowercase g, Elohim. You know, there is no mention of her summons or her incantations. But Saul wanted to know for sure if this one was Samuel, and the woman describes him as an old man coming up wrapped in a prophet's robe. You know, Saul knows that this is Samuel. And rightly, Saul bows down in homage before him. There, verse 14. Look now at verse 15. You know, when Samuel is temporarily resurrected from the grave, you know, Saul wants directions, wants counsel. You know, but hear the words that Samuel speaks to Saul. You know, lest we ever think, well, I wish I could have my loved one back. I wish that person could give me advice, counsel. You know, hear what Samuel says to Saul. He brings God's judgment to bear upon Saul. First, he says, why have you disturbed me? You know, it implies rest for God's redeemed ones. Samuel is not in purgatory. I believe he's in the presence of the Lord. He's resting with Jesus himself. And Saul's still selfishly thinking about himself. You know, he's sort of moaning and groaning now to Samuel. Or Samuel says to Saul, then, why have you disturbed me? Saul, still selfishly thinking about himself, then says, well, I'm in distress. I'm struggling here. You know, I'm sinking, Samuel. You got to help me. You got to give me guidance. You got to give me directions here. Philistines are strong. The Lord is silent. Saul is saying, you need to make known to me as to what I should do. You know, and again, quoting, you know, Ralph Davis, some of the saddest words of all scripture are printed in 1 Samuel 28:15. Hear it again. Verse 15. Then Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Saul answered, I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by prophets or by dreams. Therefore, I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do. You know, Samuel does not have words of comfort, reassurance for Saul. You know, basically saying to Saul, why are you bothering me? The Lord has turned aside from you and become your enemy. There is no greater condemnation upon any unrepentant sinner. The Lord is your enemy. Samuel then continues to communicate God's judgment upon Saul. The Lord has fulfilled the prophecy of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 28. Refresh your memory, 1 Samuel 15, verse 28. And Samuel said to him, this is the living Samuel before his death. Samuel said to him, to Saul, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you this day and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. You know, Samuel had been warned, graciously warned, lovingly warned, and he chose to reject the word of God's prophet, Samuel. Saul as well disobeyed God and not fully, faithfully carrying out his command concerning the Amalekites. Again, if you were to go back to 1 Samuel 15, you remember Saul was to wipe out all of the Amalekites, the entire population, all of their animals. And Saul disobeyed. He thought, well, I'll keep the choice animals, and Lord, I can offer them as a sacrifice to you. You know, here we see the final failure of Saul's kingship, prophesied deaths of Saul and his sons. And it's just two chapters later, 1 Samuel 31, verse 2, that we see the death of Saul and his sons in battle. You know, depraved supplication by Saul. You know, this past week, Lynn and I did enjoy a short but sweet getaway to the beach. Yes, with our daughter. Yes, with dogs. It was cool, but beautiful. And, you know, I just like sitting and viewing God's creation. Well, reading, sipping coffee. You know, and with a new puppy, of course, you have to get up early in the morning. You know, they don't wait. They don't sleep in on vacation. So 5 o'clock, you know, we're up and doing our business. And you know, got to see the sun rise, you know, beautiful. You know, just to see the sky slowly grow light. You know, but then as well, we got to watch a few sunsets in the west. You know, you forget, you know, just the beautiful shades of red to see the sun setting, you know, into the ocean, you know, and then the sky is a beautiful red for a time, but then slowly it gets dark, pitch dark. You know, we're standing on the beach, we're witnessing Saul's descent into darkness, and it is not beautiful. It's heartbreaking. His pursuit of a necromancer, his plea for this woman to bring up Samuel. And guess what? His plea was heard. Prophecy of great pain, sorrow, his own death, and his sons. You know, what can we begin to learn as hard object lessons here from the life of Saul? Don't ever dabble with the demonic. This theme of magic and the occult saturates literature today. You know, and especially for parents, you know, it's in children's books, adolescent novels, very subtle. White magic, the good witch, contradiction in terms. Online games. You know, parents, help your children make wise reading choices. You know, but for all believers, beware of occult practices, horoscopes, Ouija boards, palm readers, tarot cards, fortune tellers. Don't dabble. You know, lest we think, well, that's just Old Testament preacher. You know, Galatians 5, 19 through 21. The works of the flesh. You know, fruit of the Spirit, works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. You know, Satan is alive and well, seeking to deceive. Potions, spells, idolatry. You know, but there is hope. Ephesians 2, 12 and 13. Remember that at one time you were separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Saul. Could have been us. Verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, there's the hope for all of us. Just a quick note in closing, you know, the last five verses, the desperate sorrow of Saul. You know, Saul is powerless. He fell at once on the ground, verse 20. He has fallen fearful, foodless. You know, there was no strength, power in him. I believe that's a spiritual statement. So the woman comes to Saul, sees his despair. She starts giving orders. Now she's all set to feed Saul physically. Saul refuses. Saul didn't listen to the Lord, but now he listens to his servants who tell him to eat. I believe he eats at the devil's banqueting table here, fit for a king. Like Judas, Saul and his servants eat this last supper before departing into the darkness. Now, where is the gospel here in 1 Samuel 28? Saul's desperate need there, verse 15. But this miserable monarch needs far more than a fine meal. He needs to forsake his sin, to fall on his knees before the risen Christ and follow the light of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the truth of your word, the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you lead us in triumphal procession in Christ. We give you thanks always in Jesus' name. Amen.